Thanks to Postmates for supporting Comedy Film Nerds. Who could you ask to bring you red wine at 4 p.m. and a breakfast burrito at 8 a.m.? Postmates. For limited time, Postmates is giving you $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. Download the Postmates app and use code CFN. That's code CFN.
Guess what, everybody? It's Comedy Film Nerds Morning. Bad CD and the Flapjack coming up with Judy T and the Fetus.
Great to be here. Thanks for all of you guys coming out to the shopping mall for the the signing. And we're giving away free Red Bulls and Zimas.
Yeah, so. Zimas and Red Bulls at the mall. And then tomorrow, next week, we're going to be at Toyota of Glendale.
Yep. And then we're closing the last Toys R Us.
KCFM Radio, rock and roll, lock it down.
We'll see you there.
Traffic on the nines. 75 past the hour.
75 past
the
hour?
We're 15 minutes.
We don't have clocks here in the studio, so I don't know what to say.
So, you know what we can say? It's episode 464 of the Comedy Film Nerds podcast.
Well, that's halfway to 528.
We're getting pretty close. Yeah.
528 is going to be an amazing show. Mm-hmm. No, I'm sorry, 928. Yeah. 928.
And I want to thank... You've never gotten that wrong before.
Sorry, I jumped ahead. I was in morning radio mode, and I forgot to do my doubling up math.
Yeah, well, you were 75 minutes ahead. I
was 75 past the hour, episode 928.
Coming at you cordless.
Show another rock block, Molly Hatchet.
I guess we're classic rock now. I don't know. I just made us classic
rock. Remember the day Molly Hatchet became classic rock? You know Molly Hatchet just went, fuck.
Yeah. Well, now it's like... You know, Pearl Jam and Nirvana.
Oh, yeah.
Nirvana.
Yeah.
I'm mispronouncing it.
75 past the hour.
75 past the hour. It's Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
And Nirvana.
Yeah.
And
Nirvana.
Bachman Tainer Overdrive is good, too.
Yeah. Stone Temple Pilot coming up next.
Yeah. Yeah.
Corn with a C.
Yeah. Guys and Roses coming up.
Guys and Roses. Guys and Roses. So they're by the way, like a musical act.
Yeah.
Out.
Yeah, they're acoustic. And they do Renaissance music.
Renaissance music. Welcome to Manhattan.
Yeah. Oh my God, we got so many movies we're going to talk about.
Great.
Today.
We got some first time guests.
We
let's
do.
Introduce them.
Yeah, this is two comedians who are also podcasters, and they have a new show on ATC. This is Ethan Edinburgh and Eric Jackowitz, and your podcast is
Success Express.
Oh wow, that was Success Express of the mornings, everybody.
We're on at 2:30 a.m. Yeah. The show is 10 minutes. Show's 10 minutes long at 2:30. We'll see you in the morning.
2:30 in the morning. Perfect.
Get up and work out.
Yeah, work out with Eric and Ethan, the double E's.
Success Express, right back to Horry and the Blowfish.
I saw Horry and the Blowfish.
Oh, yeah.
They're fantastic.
The best. What's that singer's name?
Darius Rucker.
Darius Rucker.
Just give his name straight, perfect, and a straight voice. I love it. I love it.
That's Darius Rucker.
Oh, Darius Rucker. Thank you.
He's very talented.
Okay. Great. So, yeah, he's good. I like
probably won a Grammy, if not more.
Yeah. Couple now, of
yep. I saw them open for the Stain Doctors.
Oh. So.
All the way from Spain. It's the Spain. The Spain Doctors coming up.
So
with their hit song Two Blinces.
Put some cherries on it coming up next.
So tell us about your podcast, guys.
It's basically this. Which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
We do, it's a fake financial show, so we keep telling you that we're going to, they're 15 minutes long, and we're going to give you all this financial advice, but we always have to throw to commercials. We don't have time, so we never tell you anything.
Yeah.
And then all the ads, we just make up, Eric has a little drum machine, I have a keyboard, we have all these sounds hooked up, our producer's a musician, and so we just make up a bunch of fake ads, and just do what we just did, which is like riff on a stupid bit.
Yeah.
And then our friend just cuts it all up.
Right.
And makes,
you know, place it together.
Chris, why have we been talking about movies for an hour when we could just do 15 minutes of coffee and jab jab in the morning?
Yeah, that's it.
Took us 10.
You got it, my friend.
Took us 10 years to figure that out.
God damn it. Why are we going to the movie theater and all this
other
nonsense?
That's got to be so expensive.
Why, oh, fuck.
Yeah. Why am I printing like out summaries every week?
Why? All this work goes into it when we could just come and be jackasses.
No, if you bring stuff into our show, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
That was a damn mistake.
Preparation is wrong. That's our motto.
That's your
wrong.
Motto.
Preparation is wrong.
Yeah. All right.
What's that? You're prepared? Yeah. You're leaving early.
Really?
You know what? Pack your shit.
Yep.
Take a walk.
So let's talk about a movie.
All right. See, there we're back to the preparation thing.
Yeah, there we go. Queen of the Desert. You saw it. Now, this is a Warner Herzog movie. But I was reading.
So you know it's quick.
It's quick
paced.
Lighthearted rom-com.
There's nothing weird in it at all.
No, nothing. No long pans.
It was just weird, like the trivia, and I'm looking at this, I'm like, Nicole Kidman, who stars in it, begged director Werner Herzog to include a scene of her character bathing in the desert, which he happily obliged to do. The scene was written on the set and finally made it into the film. I find it odd as an actor or an actress that this is where you're going to really draw that line in the sand, like this. I'm not coming out of my trailer.
Literally,
so I can do a I can bathe in the desert.
Like, and since because it's the early 1900s, she's wearing this like white bathing gown, I guess is what it would be called. So it's just Nicole Kidman, I guess, really wanted to have a wet T-shirt contest in the middle of the desert.
In a sandstorm.
In a sandstorm. I maybe she was like.
Was it a dare? Maybe somebody on set was like, "Hey, I dare you to make Werner Herzog do this."
Well, yeah, because he's like notoriously like a wall. I don't know how you reason with Werner Herzog. So it was probably a joke amongst the crew. It was like, "Can you get him to do this?"
Yeah, he'll just see how. I bet you, and Werner will say no, and Nicole's like, "I bet you, I can get him to do it."
I'm Nicole Kidman.
I'm Nicole Kidman.
Yeah. Who are you, kid manning me?
That's what she says. Yeah, are you kid manning me?
Yeah, everyone goes, well, yeah, whatever, Nicole. Yeah. Get out of here.
She does that joke of her own last name all the time. Yeah. Are you kid manning me? God, I hope
great.
She does that.
Yeah.
God damn it. I would
and
give
if she
her...
doesn't, she should start right now.
Right now. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure she listens to this podcast.
And thank you for listening.
And apparently they
thank you, Nicole.
They also decided to film during a real sandstorm, which is usually avoided. I love that they have to add, that's usually avoided. Oh. Really? Shooting in a sandstorm? Usually avoided?
Huh. Film crews weird. Don't push through?
Yeah.
That one?
I don't remember learning that in film school, that you know, you shouldn't shoot in a sandstorm.
All right.
Or
look at you, stickler.
Yeah, I know. Or underwater. Without the proper equipment, which is usually, I love it, usually avoided. And then it keeps going as a description, like, well, if you're not sure why you shouldn't shoot in a sandstorm, because of the technical problems for the cameras resulting from the sand.
Yeah. Obviously.
Right.
Oh, my God.
I think it's probably Werner Herzog going, well, I need to...
More words to nothing.
Yeah. I need to have some sort of catastrophe that doubles the budget so I can keep my... Mm. I'm the crazy auteur.
My joie de vivre.
Yes. I got to be...
You film in a sandstorm.
Right.
Now,
I went all Fitz... I got to go Fitzcarraldo out in the desert.
And another unique opportunity arose where the very rare phenomena of snow in the desert occurred. Both natural phenomena can be seen in the final film. Now... So all we know is that Nicole Kidman bathes in the desert and that there was a sandstorm and snow. Tell us a little bit more about the film, Graham.
That's really all you need to know, Chris. You pretty much nailed it. No, it's based on a true story of this woman, Gertrude Bell, who helped. So it takes place, it's a historical drama. It's based on this actual woman. So it's the beginning part of the 1900s when before World War I starts, but everyone kind of knows the Ottoman Empire, which has ruled the Middle East, is starting to collapse. Mm. And so it starts in like 1903, 04, something like that. And the English Empire is still at its, not its peak, but it's still very powerful then, right? So it's really her going out and like, I want to learn about the Bedouin culture and all the nomads and all the different tribes in Syria, which now are Syria and Jordan and all this, Iraq. So it's really this actual woman, her journey to find it and meet these people amidst this increasing turmoil leading into World War One.
Sounds hilarious.
It is funny. Oh my God, Jim Carrey, why he wasn't in this is beyond. It's kind of like Dude, Where's My Car, but in the desert.
Dude, Where's My Camel?
So it's, you know, it came out in 2015, and I was like, I vaguely remember it coming out.
Apparently Nicole Kidman is in every scene except for the opening one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's, she is the queen of the desert. She is there in every, and there's a couple scenes where I have no doubt that this woman at that period of time in that part of the world had to be super persistent. Mm-hmm. There's no two ways about it. But there's a couple scenes that where she's just like, they're like, you need to meet the sheik and you got to come in the side through the, it's the woman's entrance. Oh, not for me. I'm walking in there. And it's like, really? Bunch of tribal guys with guns are going to just take that from a white lady? They're just going to, all right, well, hell hath no fury. You know, like some of that felt a little... You know, I don't know, but there was, you know, there's some interesting scenes. There's all this sort of...
All right, now all the women can do it.
Yeah, all That's, right. We're done. Nicole.
Yeah.
Nicole Kidman.
Did she actually say in the movie, are you Kidman me?
Yeah, she did, repeatedly, every scene. Are you Kidman me?
Yeah.
Kidman me.
I'm walking in the front of this tent and no one's going to stop
That's
me.
It. And they want, oh boy, all right.
Oh, she's not Kidmaning.
That's what they said. Yeah. Yep, very historically accurate, but they had it with accents.
Yeah. Repeat her joke.
Yeah. So I mean, there is some some fine acting scenes. Obviously, mm-hmm. This scene. I don't know. I'm sure there was some Oscar-y stuff with this that it got some Oscar awards. It was trying to. It is sort of interesting to kind of, if you know, I've studied a little bit of World War One, and it's kind of a fascinating point in history for me at least. So you kind of see how this played out in that, and then at the end of World War One. Many argue that the dividing up of the Middle East helped set the table for all the problems that we've been having. Mm-hmm. It's everyone fighting for oil. But but you see the tribalism, and that is still a factor today, and how she kind of navigated that. And it was pretty interesting. And there's always this sort of thing about her, was she a spy or not for the English government? And they kind of say maybe... She was, but she was just sort of gathering information for her own use that the English government was like, so what's the story with that guy? Well, let's, you know, who's the sheik on that?
I'll tell you after my bath.
Yeah, let me take a bath and I want it filmed.
Yeah.
So it's an interest, you know, it's on one of the streaming services. So it's like, it's worth a look. It's worth a look. You know,
Do you think it was worth the sandstorm and snow?
I don't remember the snow. That feels like they just, I don't know.
There wasn't cool sandstorm shots?
Every desert movie has those. So, like, I was like, you know, yeah. I saw the mummies. So, you know, you've seen one sandstorm, the mummy, you know, where it comes up with a mouth and bites. Yeah, you've seen them all. It's, you know, there's a lot of, they did a lot of really nice photography of the desert and really, especially you're out there in the middle of nowhere, especially in that time period. So they did a decent job with that, but you know,
all right.
Yeah. There's no,
sounds like a plane movie.
Yeah. It's plane, or I'm going to watch this spread out over 3 days while I, you know, eat dinner and do my laundry or something like that. It's not a like, oh, you gotta
sit down and watch Queen of the Desert.
You gotta buckle up for this. If you don't, you will be kidmanning yourself.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of buckling up in the airplane thing, this does not sound like an airplane movie to me, not to disagree, but I need on an airplane, like an action movie. I need something that's like,
talking about a plane crashing, you sick fuck.
No, but
because you want to see big sprawling action on the smallest screen possible.
I mean, right, I want to see the most intense CGI.
You're right about that.
I can barely.
I just appreciate
something on less smaller than my phone.
Stay awake, stay activated, and I just feel like there's so many action movies now that I'm probably not going to watch them in the theater or even at home. I'm going to watch more Queen of the Desert probably or something. So I just feel like, oh, this is my chance. What was that Transformers offshoot movie that they made? I'll watch that now. Yeah. And I'm going to have so much fun with
that. Yeah, a lot of superhero movies get watched on airplanes.
That makes sense. I get that. I get that because the plane is so boring and so tedious that you just need a big shiny
just
thing.
Give me eye candy. Yeah.
I don't want to remember I'm on a plane. I want to think that Captain America's, jumping on a car.
Right.
I want to think he's real.
So. I want to be with him.
Now, I want to see himself in myself.
Yeah.
So now, Eric, you saw High Life.
I saw High Life.
Now tell us about that movie.
Wow.
Was not a fan.
Yeah.
The long pause always tells that is that's
if that's you were, telegraphing.
If you were to just take an audio sampling of a review of a movie, yeah. It's the pause after the question goes, oh, I got it.
Got it. Yeah. I was excited. I normally love space movies.
Mm-hmm.
2001. Space Odyssey. It's a great movie.
Other space films.
Moon.
Moon.
Rocket.
Moon was Rocket good. Patrol.
Rocket Man.
Rocket Patrol.
So, Rocket Patrol 2. So what's Electric High Boogaloo.
Life? What's the...
High Life is the new Robert Pattinson space movie.
Okay.
And
I love how you say that as though, oh, another great Robert Pattinson space movie.
His last movie was very good.
The Rover?
No, what was it called? Good Time.
No, I didn't see that.
It was very good. Mm-hmm. And I was excited to see this.
The last two movies were Good Time, High Life.
Good Time, High Life.
Wow.
Just making sure.
Are you sure he's not doing Matt McConaughey surfer movies?
Yeah.
Imagine if he said, I'll only do this movie if you guys hire Juliette Binoche.
Right.
My one condition.
Yeah.
And Andre 3000 was in it.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, right. Yeah. I like him.
Yeah. But it was like very good for 20 minutes because it was just like him and a baby on the spaceship.
Uh-huh.
And then it goes into like weird sex cult territory.
Sex cult? In space?
In space.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to take it seriously sometimes.
Now, is it supposed to be like a satire or a comedy?
No.
Oh, it's not.
No, it's like very serious. Everyone's
but
acting.
Even the actual title, High Life, we're supposed to take it seriously. Oh, yeah, look at that. R. Disturbing sexual and violent content, including sexual assault, graphic nudity, and language.
Yeah.
Like, I thought this was like a Matthew McConaughey space.
That's what I thought.
If you told me a High Life, I'd be like, is it just like, going to Mars, bro?
Yeah.
Like,
the DJ, the chef, goes to the...
Yeah.
The moon. I mean, all right, we're here in the eighth ring of Saturn.
Yeah, we're at the Toyota of the eighth ring of Saturn, giving out beer koozies and frisbees. Yeah.
We got red hot chili peppers going at
you. I mean, space traffic on the nines.
Blues Traveler.
Blues Traveler.
So really, it just should have been called like Space Sex Cult.
Space Rape.
Space Rape.
Like, which was, that's what, a lot of that happened in the movie.
Whoa.
And I was like, I don't know where to leave. Like, it was like, I saw like seven people walk out.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah. It was.
Well, it's weird because it's done $668,000. That's a, that's a really good opening weekend.
Yeah, that really is. I'm sure that almost made its budget back.
Opening weekend was actually $99,000. Just to clarify that. Wow. Not trying to rag on the film. Love everyone that made it, and they're all close friends of mine, actually. and I wish for them the best. And I wrote this movie, and so, but whatever.
Yeah, I don't like trashing things in public, but I don't think
but you love.
I don't
doing
think I'm
it
trashing it, but I'm. It's like it wasn't for me. I'm gonna say that.
There you go.
Feel like you were not alone with the walkout numbers you gave us and the
I gave you some stats.
I mean, seven walkouts
is a lot.
Yeah, it just doesn't.
But let's check out her smell. What was that?
Well, this was directed by Claire Dennis. Let's see what
and her claim to fame. I looked her up. Is she made the best French film in the 90s.
That's that what the name
yes,
of it
was that's
called?
What she's,
that's what it was called.
The best French film of the 90s.
Yeah.
Wow, this is an insane...
She actually has a very large resume.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, she's like a huge...
Oh, she did Chocolat?
She was like a...
Oh, my God. No wonder Juliette Binoche is in it.
Mm-mm. Okay.
No, and she's like... I think she was like sort of the part of the Nouveau Vague, the that stuff.
And this is what Hollywood offered her.
Yeah.
All these French films... including like some some award nominees. I think Chocolat was up for an award
at
some point.
I never saw that.
It was good.
Yeah
I
like that.
It was about a chocolate factory, right?
Yeah and like... then some kids get golden tickets.
Yeah,
and then
so
they go through.
I think I saw that.
Oh,
yeah.
So you did see it.
Yeah. Chocolat.
Yeah.
With Gene Wilder.
Yeah.
Chocolat.
Yeah.
Yeah, you remember that.
He was Sergeant Oompa. Okay, cool.
Yeah, Chocolat.
So not even on a plane, maybe high life?
You guys repeat each other's sentences more than like the Sklar brothers. Like, it's amazing.
Wow, I'll take it. They're actual brothers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've gotten that, but you put it in a nicer way than most people would say it.
Yeah. They normally say, hey, we're on a bus, shut up.
Yeah. You know? What are you doing? Yeah. Stop just yelling Sears.
Yeah.
Hey, we're on a bus, shut up.
What's your favorite bus line that you like to take in Los Angeles?
Oh, so many to choose from.
There are, really.
Come on.
There's so many.
I don't know. I've only taken the bus once.
Oh. Mm.
I refuse to get on a bus because my family owns the taxi company here. So we encourage everybody to take taxis, and that's all that I do.
His brother founded Uber.
Yeah. My last name is Uber.
I appreciate. That wasn't a real question. I wasn't looking for real answers. I appreciate you guys really jumping in there.
Hey, man. We're going to answer anything you got, okay? Whether we have one or not.
All right.
So I saw How to Train Your Dragon 3, or just How to Train Your Dragon: The Hidden World.
Oh, the Hidden World.
This is the final film in the How to Train Your Dragon franchise. And what's interesting is each movie was distributed by a different studio. Paramount Pictures, the first one. Fox, the second one. And Universal, the third one. So that means DreamWorks has been pretty much bouncing around and been making different deals as they go.
Wow.
But what's interesting is, like, this. I really liked the first movie. I didn't love the second movie. This third movie is actually really good. And they really, you could see the fingerprints of, like, well, how did Toy Story do it? That kind of thing, like, to really amp up the emotional end of the franchise at the end, because it had all those beats in there. Mm. Like, instead of toys, it was dragons. Yeah. So you could kind of see it all there. The one thing that I don't like is when, you know, these franchises get so big is that, you know, you don't just have the movies. There's, like, all these different TV shows on Netflix, like How to Train Your Dragon. So, you know, if you haven't seen every single episode or thing that they've done, then some of the stuff, like, you know, well, wait, did I miss like an entire chapter? Yeah, yeah. I'm like, well, how did they get here and what's going on? So, and that's, you know, every studio does that. And like, oh, we have a successful franchise. Let's milk it to death until no one ever wants to see it again. So,
good plan.
Let's get granular.
Yeah. So, but this movie, it was good. What I really liked about this franchise, too, is they show the character's age. Like in animation, that rarely happens. It's like, you know, The Simpsons, they've looked the same for what, 30 years? God, how many years has it been now?
1790.
Yeah, seven. Yeah.
I think 7 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it started in 1904. It was the beginning of the First World War.
Right after
the Titanic.
Yep.
So this movie, it's good. It's and everything is kind of like been improved. Like, you know, the character designs are more detailed. The animation is more fluid. You know, and the story's progressed. I really felt like they kind of course corrected from the second one. This one was a little brighter, a little, you know, more character-driven for
the
story.
Did you see it in 3D?
I didn't. And you know what? As I was watching this, there was a lot of really cool stuff going on. I'm sorry I didn't see it in 3D. Like I'm watching, like, you know, when they get to the hidden world and it's all, like, you could tell, oh, well, that's where a lot of the animators spent most of the time from this movie. And I'm like, oh, this movie looked really cool in 3D.
Right.
But
they didn't do cheesy, like, hold up a lighter.
Yeah. On the screen. So it was good, and it's one of those things too where it's definitely the end of the franchise, but they ended it in like a really there was like little shades of like Harry Potter and you know all different pieces of like, you know, franchises that just worked how they ended, like Toy Story, even though there is going to be another Toy Story, but Toy Story 3 had a very powerful, you know, emotional core ending. This one had the same thing, and you could tell, like, all right, well, these movies must have been on a loop in the animators' rooms. So, like, okay, I got it. So it's definitely worth seeing if you were a fan of the first or second one. It's really worth seeing.
They wrapped everything up.
It did totally wrapped everything up.
They trained the dragon.
They did. They trained.
Everyone died.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing. It was the final chapter. It was like a Shakespeare play. So it was.
You got a certificate. Yeah. You've trained the dragon. Yeah. You've graduated.
How to Train Your Dragon. Yeah. Death.
So, but you know, if there's more money to be made, you know, there'll be.
Oh, dude.
There'll be another or a Christmas special. Something else will show up.
This ain't going to be the last one.
With this franchise.
There's going to be How to Train Your Dragon on ice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I actually got tapped to write How to Train Your Dragon 4, so I can tell you that's for sure.
Yeah.
In pre-production.
Did you have to pitch?
No, they actually read my script from High Life. And they were so impressed.
They loved it so much.
So
get the high life guy in here.
That shit was great.
Look, we want the only change we want to make is we want more dragons and less rape.
Okay. So that's interesting note. I'll think about that.
Always in general, less of that is better.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm definitely having dragons in space, so you're not going to stop me there.
Oh, yeah.
So this was really, it was a good movie. It was a fun movie. I would definitely recommend it if you didn't check it out. If you are going to see it in the theater, I would go for the 3D. If not, check it out when it comes on demand for sure. So, all right. How to Train Your Dragon.
All right.
And now you saw a Flint water duck.
So I'm going to talk about this briefly because I think we should...
do a spoiler ep.
The water's still dirty. Water's still dirty.
Yeah.
Well, they're coming up on their 5-year anniversary of the water still being contaminated, which is an atrocious crime. So this this doc was made through Jordan Cheriton, who was a reporter with TYT, Young Turks, who's now out on his own, but he's been covering the Flint water crisis extensively. And I remember was on an episode of Aggressive Progressive with Jimmy Dore like 2 years ago, and we had a Skype interview with him, and he's just showing, and this documentary it's maddening. I mean, it's well made, but it's maddening. They're still pulling crap over there. They're still like not lying and, oh, we're testing your water. And yeah, it's clean and it isn't. Like, just, it's unbelievable. And he's there because no one out, the mainstream media is not covering this anymore. And so it's really, and maybe we can, when he gets to LA, if he does, I think I'm not, he's in Michigan a lot, but
the mainstream media isn't covering it. What did Trump tweet again?
Trump combed his hair. Oh my God! Russia made him do it.
Yeah.
So it's like,
oh, they should.
Yeah. They should make him comb his hair. So it's just another thing that the media should be talking about that it isn't, so it can distract us with all whatever Stormy Daniels bullshit of the day is. So it's really, this is actual like, oh, this is what investigative journalism looks like.
When did it come out?
That's the thing. I don't think it's out yet.
Okay.
So he sent me an advanced screener. So I feel like we should, if we can get him on the show, we can really go into it, and we should have him come on when it's available for the people to buy.
Okay.
Can't you just post the link that he sent you on Twitter or?
Hey, independent filmmaker, I'm going to stick it to you.
Because I'd love to see it.
Yeah. I'm going to just do that. Here's the secret passcode that he gave me.
Yeah, Vimeo private link.
Yeah, here you go. Just,
it's movie activism. He shouldn't make money.
Yeah, exactly. Man.
Yeah, if your movie was truly punk rock, you wouldn't want to make any money so you can make your next one.
Yeah. So you could be going in debt to spend time in Flint, Michigan. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. So,
yeah.
Oh, this is sick.
Yeah, you know, someday, I mean, you're not going to make enough money in documentary film to go into space and join a cult, that's for sure.
No.
Well,
you could try.
Yeah.
Not yet, Chris.
I'm listening.
Just wait.
Yeah. I have a pamphlet for you to read. Yes.
So, yeah, we'll get more into this when it's, like, available for people to buy.
We'll really drink it in.
I don't get it. But yeah, and hopefully we can get Jordan on the show to really go into the details, because there's some stuff I'm like, how did you get that access? How did you get this information?
Well, CG.
CG'd in information that he got that's showing.
It's actually pretty easy.
You can just type it out.
He just made the water dirty. It's like a computer trick.
Oh. That's it. Yeah. So Chelsea Manning didn't release whistleblowing documents. She just CG'd them blowing up reporters.
That's usually what leaks are.
I'm so dumb. Thank you, guys.
I didn't want to say it.
No way. You guys sure know the high life.
Comedy conspiracy nerds.
Yeah.
Right after Nirvaney.
Nirvaney.
Nirvanus.
All right.
So, okay.
That's
all right.
It. We're done.
That's all right. We're done with Flint water and the doc. But what's the name of it? So we know what to look for.
Well,
love that dirty water.
It hasn't been named yet.
Love that word. Love that dirty water. Balls in your mouth. Coming up after traffic and weather.
Detroit's Clearwater Revival.
Yeah, that's what it's called. That's what it is. That's awesome. Wow, Chris Mancini.
Coming in hot.
Fantastic. Mancini of the Martins.
And then it blows in the bullpen.
Please donate for the Flint water crisis. It's very serious.
Actually, that we could do. Could we give away a link where people could donate to help the...
Yeah, well, crisis. That's the thing. Like,
it'll be in the show notes.
Planning, so that's why I can't give you that. Like, we'll do that on a later episode.
No, guys. If you're listening, I guarantee you, this is Ethan Edinburgh, that the in the show notes or show description there will be a link so that you can donate to Flint. Everybody donate to yes. Flint and cure it, and that's a for sure thing that I my stamp's on it.
Wow.
See, Chris, I was just trying to say we're going to talk about this right. more later, but, I got it. But I keep got asking it. Questions I, that I can't I, really answer.
Absolutely, I got it. So where can we get it?
It's for sale, Chris. It's on your smartphone right now.
Oh, great.
Buy it. Yeah.
That's easy.
How much?
Just PayPal me some money, oh, okay. and I'll send it to you.
All right.
Just an iPhone video of you taking a piss?
Yeah, for sure. That's what it is.
And what's the runtime?
It's whatever you want it to be.
Wow.
So the more money you donate to me, the
just
better
the longer
the runtime.
It is.
Yeah.
Yes. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Test the limits and, on that.
All right. And format? Is that
it's in Kinescope, yeah. and I will send you a. I will. You can download.
It's 3D, right?
Yeah, it's a 3D yeah, Kinescope.
Yeah, I've actually been hired by a consulting firm to make that a VR product.
Yeah, it is a VR Kinescope.
Can I get it on VHS-C?
Yep.
Okay, great.
Yep. Laserdisc.
Beta. All formats. All outdated formats. Yeah. It's available on Etch-a-Sketch, Viewfinder, everything.
Photoshop.
Viewfinder.
I will send you an AOL CD-ROM of it, and then you can watch it on that.
Yeah, so I can get a busy signal?
Yeah, you can get a busy signal. It's all through dial-up. It's mm-hmm. perfect. And you can watch it on your typewriter.
All right, perfect.
Hope you got an Ethernet cable.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, it's
going to be. In multiple formats.
It is going to be wherever you need it.
Yeah.
Cannot wait.
Also sounds hilarious.
Yeah.
I watch funny movies.
Yeah.
World War One and the desert and then the funny contaminated.
Yeah, it's
world.
Comedy film nerds. These are all comedy films.
That's all right? We
comedy
about.
Films.
Yeah. Comedy film nerds.
That's what it's about.
Yep. It makes sense.
Okay, I want to talk to you guys about our new advertiser, Postmates. This is great. All you got to do is download the app. It's your personal food delivery, grocery delivery, whatever you can think of delivery service all year round. No more trips to the store. You don't even have to know where the store is. Postmates will deliver anything to you. Now, I did it, and they've got this great thing right now where you have all you got to do is use the code CFN. You get $100 worth of free delivery credit. And we used it. And it's interesting because it's like you're so used to getting food delivered, but it's more than that. It's like you can go to a store. Like we actually got a couple pints of ice cream delivered. It was really good to this great ice cream parlor that we didn't even know where it was, but we knew it was in the area somewhere. It's on Postmates, so they come and deliver. I think it was like less than an hour. It ended up only being like 45 minutes. It was great. So when it's 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, Postmates will bring you what you want within the hour. Anything you're craving. They're the largest on-demand network in the known universe and more than 25,000 merchant partners. So it's really good because there's a lot of delivery services right now. With Postmates, I found, especially with the app interface, it's like just really simple and easy, and you can track your order. And I found that it was, for us people who aren't teenagers, they grew up with technology and have to learn each app, and it's not as intuitive for us. It was very easy to use, and it was great. So check it out. And you guys, you can try it for free. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first
deal.
For your first 7 days. All you got to do is to start your free deliveries, download the app, then use the code CFN. That's code CFN for $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Get anything you need, anytime you need it. Download Postmates and save with the code CFN.
Boom.
So, Graham, we have some Patreon sponsors.
Oh, thank God. Patreon sponsors.
Yep. This is, get hyped.
And Katie Bagwell, her...
Hi, Katie.
Her the MS-150, it's the fundraising ride that's helping fuel progress toward a world free of MS. It's the end of April. It's coming up. The money raised will fund amazing progress in MS research. You could reach her donation page at willthetd.com, willthetd.com/CFN. If you can, help her achieve her goal.
You guys, a lot of you helped them out last year when they did this, so help them out again this year. It's a great cause.
And Johnny Rulon's promoting his novel Green Cheek, A Junkie's Guide to Street Magic. It's on Amazon, both digital and hard copy. It's an experimental stream of consciousness novel which follows the exploits of the muse Calliope and her mortal lover T.S. on a journey through time, dreams, and the hidden places of a supernatural America. HappyHorrorShowProductions.com, HappyHorrorShowProductions.com. And Fanboy Planet, a website and podcast for all things geeky and amazing. Check out Fanboy Planet for your comics news, movie news, TV news, and amazing interviews with industry insiders and artists. FanboyPlanet.com.
FanboyPlanet.com.
And from Chris Barker Howard.
Phantom Planet.
Yeah. Coffee Over Suicide, a dramedy podcast about mental illness and choosing life over death, one cup of coffee at a time. New episodes every Friday, wherever podcasts are found. Find out more at CoffeeOverSuicide.com. And Alice Frazier, co-host of the Bugle podcast and host of Tea with Alice, bring you a series of three genre-bending solo stand-up shows that explore the boundary between comedy and tragedy. They're recorded back-to-back as a three-hour show at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival and with a binaural microphone, which creates an intensely immersive listening experience.
Whoa,
go to AliceFrazier.com, AliceFrazier.com. And lastly, we have Rebecca Evans at the Art Podcast. We move past hesitation and we're true to ourselves to find our own art in life. New episode with comic, author, musician Greg Barrett, theartpodcasts.com with an S. All right. Now check that out. That's $50 a month. You get your ad written.
Yeah.
Read on every episode.
You go to patreon.com/comedyfilmnerds. We will talk about whatever thing you guys want us to talk about.
Yeah.
Well, that's good because I want to talk about Green Cheek. I have a lot of questions here. No, I'll be heading over to check that out myself.
And well, let's get to some trailers.
Hell yeah. Trailers.
Do you like trailers? Is a movie too long for you?
Fast and Furious, Hobbs and Shaw.
This trailer is like watching the movie.
Yes.
I don't know what else they filmed.
Right.
After watching this trailer.
But it's great. We were pumped up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Watching this.
And you're watching and like, all right, well, here's something that was really smart. Don't fuck with the formula for the Fast and Furious formula. I'm like, this is Fast and Furious without Vin Diesel. And I'm thinking, great. You know, even better.
Yeah.
My two favorite parts of the franchise.
Yes.
It just also looks really funny.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It looks like they're... Pick a door. They know what's going on here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's my door. Pick another door. What's wrong with you?
You know, Jason Statham's not small, but next to The Rock, everyone looks small.
Yeah, looks like that door.
Big wrench. I just love a bunch of guys in an alleyway.
Hell yeah.
All in the same uniform.
Old boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Access granted.
Physical access humor.
Poor stuntman.
Access denied.
Luke Hobbs. And take a show. We've got unfinished business. Shaw's sister took something from me. A virus. It could wipe out half the population.
Yes, virus.
Of course there's a virus.
Now it's James Bond. It's amazing.
Well, now it's somebody's got to be genetically enhanced here.
It's my sister, family.
Who do they work for? They just seem like auto guys. Who are like, why do they have access to viruses?
My business.
Yeah, you don't want to think too much on
Stop asking questions.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're getting this.
Yeah. Didn't Jason Statham kill like 1,000 people in the last couple of movies?
Hope
yeah.
So.
Oh
yeah.
My God, they're going to chase a jet with a car.
Oh, I hope so.
I'm getting too old for this.
Shit. You know how long I've been waiting to do that? Because it's war time. The music's already started.
Oh, running down the
road. Yeah, like a reverse Batman.
Yes. Yeah. Jason Bourne with a car. From
so
building
you guys
to building.
Are being hunted by an army of mercenaries led by a genetically enhanced soldier.
Yeah,
genetically enhanced soldier.
I'm Black Superman.
You're crazy.
Spartan.
Damn. He really is Black Superman. You need to get off
really
the grid.
Really is Black Superman.
Like in the movie, that whole setup. Punchline would have lasted an hour.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to bring trouble here.
Oh, this is my favorite part. I remember this.
Yes.
Like, go see The Rock's family.
Is going to war.
And they're all crazy Samoans with a private army on another one.
But they, but all the guns are gone.
Mama, where's all our guns?
I can't read of them.
Very noble, Mrs. Hobbs. We're in serious trouble.
That's an understatement.
Let's get old school.
Hammers.
Yep.
And clubs.
Zoe!
Yes!
in tribal,
Samoan warrior.
Yeah, tribal paint, tribal, battle skirts. I don't know what you call them.
Battle skirts.
Come on! Cause it's war
time! All the weapons look so light.
Yeah.
Like, they have no weight at all.
Everybody's so friggin' strong.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yes!
Car versus helicopter.
Tell me this is not happening.
Who is he talking to?
I'm not quite sure.
God.
Yes. Tell me this is not happening.
So sick.
Nice. Did you ever think when you're watching the Fast and Furious movies, like you would ever see Fast and Furious Presents and there'd
no,
be like
right.
a spinoff somewhere?
I did not think about that.
Oh, yeah. That's weird.
I'm so in. They have my money. These movies have gotten progressively better because they literally do not care.
These movies
they
alone are funding
want.
The Universal theme park expansion.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So this, I mean, this is like the one giant franchise that Universal has because... you know, the Mummy and the MonsterVerse didn't go over as well as they would have liked. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now Fast and Furious, they're covert, special op.
Sure.
Not, car, like, yeah, sure. So vague.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the vaguest of the
undercover. Car experts.
You know, in the beginning, that's what, that's what The Rock was. He was like a special government unit that was tracking down Vin Diesel, but now that seems to have completely
evaporated.
Disappeared as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Now he just does whatever he wants.
So now he's just Samoan war skirts.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Taking down helicopters
clubs
from a car.
And, yeah.
People up with clubs to get a virus.
Going after
for no
sure.
reason.
Genetically enhanced Idris Elba.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whatever.
What's your question?
Yeah.
What's the problem?
I don't know. There's no problem at all.
Just
red wire, blue wire?
Yeah.
Cut them. Find the right one and do it with 1 second.
You know, that's the kind of trailer that when you're done, you just go, all right, I get it.
I'm
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
in.
All right, I'm done. Done. Yeah.
So down.
I'll prepay. Yep.
Yeah.
Whatever it costs.
Tent on Sunset Boulevard to camp out for this. I'm in.
All right, ready for the next.
Oh,
this
yeah.
one is actually surprising. The Child's Play remake. Trailer.
Sick.
Something's wrong with Chucky.
You know what I want to avoid though? The trailers before the trailers.
Sorry.
Completely unnecessary.
Or is
yeah,
it?
What was that?
I know this move has been really tough, but this is supposed to be a new start for us. Remember?
Aubrey Plus,
marginalized kid getting bullied.
Connect to and control all of your Caslin products and smart home devices.
Okay.
Introducing your new best friend.
Orion's back.
Wow.
Whoa, cool.
That's one of those weird, like, logos. I'm like, well, they kind of own the original, so we got to show the logo again.
Hmm.
It's like New Line. They're not really anywhere, just Warner Brothers owns the title.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Mom, I need to tell you something, and I need you to believe me. I think Chucky did something.
Andy, if you know something, you better tell me.
Something's wrong with Chucky.
Buddy can connect to and control all your
powers. Chucky is a toy.
He could be anywhere.
Welcome to Caslin Car.
So now they're tying Chucky into this, like,
Silicon Valley.
Yeah, too much technology can invade our lives.
And
yeah.
what a great idea.
It makes sense.
Yeah. And like that, you know, he's networked into everything.
Good night, Andy.
That was cool.
Honestly,
I like that.
It's one of those surprises where like, well, this is going to be stupid. Like, oh no, it's actually kind of, it looks kind of scary. And they went the right direction with it.
I agree. Because it's like, if you're going to, how are you going to bring, okay, you're going to bring back Chucky. You're just going to make, you could do it just, we're
like
going to.
Can't be tongue in cheek.
Can't be tongue in cheek. Or you could just like, we're going to make basically the same movie from 30 years ago, but just for a new, younger audience. Fine. this looks like let's make a whole new concept.
Chuckyverse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chuckyverse. Into the Chuckyverse.
Yeah.
And dig into what would make it actually scarier if you had like a crazy toy that got into your Wi-Fi and like could control everything. Oh, that really could kill you.
And it seemed like in the store for a second, the drone was also hooked up. So I like that it's not just, you know, they're not just using a doll to try and kill people. It's like we're using all kinds of tech to get after you.
So it's some sort of kind of like Skynet Chucky thing.
Right. Chucky with the guy from Animal House.
Boone. Yeah. Mine's bigger than that. My cucumber. It's bigger. I
want to see it now. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, the original is great.
All right, let's go see it.
A doll with a knife.
Yeah. Sell it. Go.
All right. Next, then, DVD and Blu-ray. We have Escape Room. You know, I like escape rooms. I didn't see this movie.
You were the core demographic. Yeah. So that's a shame.
But it was one of those perfect, like, you know, horror movies where it checked all the boxes. A cast you've never heard of, you know, scary teens, you know, kids, young kids in peril that are pretty that we're going to eventually kill off.
And horny, probably.
And most likely horny. And
we'll have to shower at some point.
And, and what is the trend that it's tapping into? Boom. It hit all of those things, was made probably for $2 million, and it made something like $60
million. Wow. Dude, it's the final destination model.
Blumhouse? Yeah, really what is this thing?
I'm sure Blumhouse is involved at some point.
Okay. Yeah.
Because it's really, I mean, that's what Final Destination has been doing for 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Bunch of no names.
I love Final Destination.
Any of them. Just like, right?
Didn't know that
seriously.
About you.
No, yeah, the second one is sick.
But the you know, the formula works for horror movies.
It does.
Oh yeah.
You're not going to a horror movie for the big name stars.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see how Brad Pitt becomes a killer. Yeah. No. Nobody cares.
Hey, two-dimensional characters. Mm-hmm. You're the pretty one. You're dead. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're gonna
start running.
It's the Hobbs and Shaw of war. Give me what I want.
Mm-hmm. And there's really room for like cool, well-written, well-directed, and artistic horror, like you know the Babadook and all these movies and stuff. But the studios are also finally figuring out. It took a very long time. They're also finally figuring out like there is that formula of you know just give the people what they want. We don't want a Fog remake. You know, people want, you know, something like Escape Room. And, like, even if it doesn't go gangbusters, well, it only costs $2 million. So we'll only make $10 million instead of $40 million on it. You know,
they're so low gamble on these, and they know they're gonna make their money back.
You're going to see more of these. I'm sure there's going to be a sequel. There'll be an Escape Room 2.
Sure.
More escapier or whatever.
Escape this.
Yeah.
It's always 10 million or less. It's always in the 5 to 10 million range.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It made 55 million. Mm-hmm. It'll make another it'll probably get close to 100 million when you add in the VOD and everything else.
Right. Yeah. Well, to those people listening that made it, Eric and I are basically unknowns right now. So you could cast us in Escape Room 2, Escape This.
You've always wanted to get killed.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'd like to get murdered.
I love riddles, right? This thing is all riddles, probably. Mm-hmm.
I'll take a shower and get murdered in it, or whatever you need me to do.
Yeah,
whatever.
I need you to do that.
Right now.
That's my one condition.
Yeah, that's your screen test.
Murder me in the shower.
She's taking a shower and gets stabbed.
Oh, shit!
Oh, wow.
So, and in the site spotlight and the fan feedback we have.
Well, don't forget Destroyer's out.
Oh, sorry. Forgot
I saw that. Yes. That's another
Nicole Kidman movie.
Yeah. There's some interesting stuff. There's a lot about it I like. There's a couple holes plot-wise in it, but
didn't really get the buzz that they were really pushing for.
They were really trying. Well, it's pretty actor looking ugly. Always is like, that should give me an Oscar. It's not Oscar worthy, but there's some good moments in it, some good acting in it. If you missed it, this is a good time to snatch it up and watch it.
Right.
I'm sure everyone's asking, did she bathe?
Yes, in the desert. She goes out.
Weird.
That's her thing now.
Movies. What's Destroyer about? You have like a one-line synopsis for me?
She's a LA cop, so it's an LA cop story.
Okay.
And it's sort of uncovering a crime, kind of a little bit of Memento.
Oh, interesting. So the whole movie's backwards.
Yeah. She just walks backwards and goes, yeah. You're right.
No, that's
David
cool.
I thought you were going to say a little bit of momentum in the movie.
Yeah.
So, no, that's what it doesn't have. Yeah. That's the holes in the second act is its lack of momentum.
So, all right. So check out Destroyer and Escape Room. And if you want, You don't have to.
You have to.
This isn't an assignment.
Yeah, no, you're okay if you
report back next week. Watch those.
Film club.
And the site spotlight and the fan feedback. The people are slowly coming back to the Comedy Film Nerds message boards. Please check them out and contribute to the discussion. We appreciate the feedback, too, on the Facebook fan page and on Twitter. We love interacting with you guys, and please keep it up. It's really cool. And also, you know, we take emails, too. We don't necessarily respond to everyone, but we do read them all. If you want to respond, if you have any questions, comments, or, you know, something that you like or you want to, you have a suggestion for the show, we listen to those as well. That's info@comedyfilmnerds.com, or post on the message boards as well. So we always like to hear feedback and, you know, be in contact with you guys.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then coming out, Avengers Endgame.
Yes. So, the initial screenings are Thursday. So we don't have tickets till Sunday.
Wow.
So now I'm going to have to, like, stay off social media until, like, Sunday night.
How will you survive?
I know.
How will we do it?
Unplug.
What will you do?
But, you know, because
I really liked the last one.
It was great.
So did I. I mean, but this is, like, really, really an event movie. I mean, mm-hmm. Movie theaters are selling out.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, they called it Endgame.
Yes.
So yeah.
Like, Endgame.
It really is the culmination of all these movies combined together. And it's really, I'm really looking forward to it.
We're going to do a spoiler ep on
it. Yes. And it's also one of those things, too, like, it's going to be tough, but I don't want to hear one word about it because it's going to be all over news. It's going to be all over social media. Yeah. And even, like, to the point where the filmmakers were, like, releasing these, like, this letter, like, hey, please don't spoil it for people. There's always going to be some asshole that's going to do it.
Yeah, come on, of course.
Yeah,
people are going to do that.
So, but our fans wouldn't do that because they're all cool.
Yeah.
You guys are a bunch of Plutos.
Yeah.
The last one was just, I loved it because it was like Hobbs and Shaw, give me what I want.
Right.
Yes.
And it was just on loop. Mm-hmm. A scene of some superhero kicking the shit out of someone else. Mm-hmm. And then another superhero flies in and the first superhero goes, what took you so long?
Yeah.
And they just do that over, and it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And this, what's interesting too about this movie is because the way they've been shooting them is Brie Larson actually shot the Avengers movie before Captain Marvel. So I'm curious to see, like, are there going to be any character differences?
You know, they did, Infinity War did such a great job of
pulling everything together.
Mm-hmm. And Thanos, we talk about this a lot. One of my favorite types of villains is someone that actually has some sort of moral code behind what they're doing that you can possibly go, well, I kind of get it.
Yeah.
It's a little crazy and evil, but I sort, you know, so you're like, ooh.
You know, we do have limited resources.
We have limited resources.
Yeah.
Maybe
come
on.
It's not the worst idea.
No, vaporizing some people. You just hope you're not the one that's turned to dust, you know? So I don't know. The way it ended, I was like, awesome.
Yeah.
I was already ready for Endgame.
Right.
I wasn't like, I hate it sometimes because it's like, oh, they're deliberately dragging this out to put the final episode in two parts. That's bullshit. I get mad at that. This, right. I was like, no.
Yeah.
Perfect.
It makes sense.
Do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The way Brolin played Thanos is
multidimensional. I mean, I don't even know what the length is. It's got to be like 3 hours long, too.
It's so good.
It's so good. You're right. Brolin did such a great job of bringing the humanity to this character that we've only sort of heard is just this sort of intergalactic boogeyman, like Thanos. We don't know much about him. And then that...
I remember he's got an entire computer-generated overlay on top of him. So the fact that he can still emote and, you know, feel for him is pretty cool.
Oh, if you look at some of those photos of what Brolin, how he's... The actor is dressed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's got to wear this headset.
All the mocap stuff.
It's crazy. And then the technology is also so amazing so that they capture Brolin's...
Like muscle, facial
Yeah, his
muscle
facial
movements.
Reactions, his emotions and everything on this big, massive monster person is awesome. And it's another reason why these movies are great.
Yep. And he's really a great villain. Like you said, he's like, there's like that hint of like sympatheticness to him. Like I don't know if they'll go into more of his backstory, like how did he become the Mad Titan or whatever. But it was that great mix of like, there was some sympathy. And also he was like, oh my God, he's like indestructible. I don't even think the Hulk can beat, you know, like that kind of like threat. So it was really well put together, and it was a great, fun comic book movie. I can't wait to see this one, as it might make a little, maybe a few dollars. Now, I think...
The budget was like $1 million.
Yeah.
Totally low budget. Art house
Jim
movie.
Jarmusch made it.
It was all the same crew from Escape Room.
Yeah. So what are predictions for opening week, and what do you think it'll make?
I think it'll probably make $300 million. Opening weekend.
Easy.
Because it's probably already done $100 million in pre-sales.
Yeah.
Today, right. It's Tuesday.
Could be, yeah.
I mean, people have been buying tickets on this for how many weeks now?
Yeah, I'm going to go conservative. I'm going to say $200 million for the opening weekend.
Okay.
What's the biggest opening weekend of a movie?
Oh, that's a good question.
Great question.
Because that's probably what it's going to be.
Yeah. Right. Oh, it'll be. I think it'll shatter like.
It'll be.
For
yeah. Sure. Whatever that record
it would
is.
Probably be, yeah, a, be more gone. Than that.
Yeah.
400 million? Is that like Titanic or something?
I don't know. It's got to be one of these Marvel movies that's broken it. Whatever the
Black Panther probably
something think, like Aaron? That. Infinity War,
$257 million. Okay.
All right. So I'm
let's
already
say,
wrong.
Let's say
so it's going to be three. Yeah.
It's going to be three.
Yeah, for sure.
Isaiah's going to break four, guys.
It might.
No.
Yes. That's what I say.
I put the over under at 330.
Okay, but here's the real question. How much do you guys want to bet on this number?
$330 million.
Yeah, I wouldn't
okay,
bet
I'm just going to bet something private with Eric.
Yeah.
Great. That's a little expensive for me.
I don't know about if I can get that much.
The podcasting's been good to us. We can have we have hundreds of millions of dollars to throw around in a in a wager. Yeah.
We are doing something wrong.
You know,
you heard all those Patreon ad reads.
We invested our Squarespace money well.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Well done.
We charge $1 billion per ad read. Yeah. That's how we can gamble $300 million.
We got to start charging at all. Making big mistakes.
So, we're losing money.
That is our show.
That's it, guys.
So, Ethan and Eric, why don't you tell us where people can find you online and where they can listen to your podcast?
You can find the full redacted Mueller report on
ericssecrets.net. He puts a bunch of leaked documents.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Eric, you're like the WikiLeaks of podcasts?
My middle name is Julian.
Ah.
Think about it.
Free Julian.
Think about it for a second.
No, we are... Success Express on ATC.
Anywhere you get your podcast, Success Express, of course.
New episodes every Wednesday.
That's right.
And Ethan
is
the host of Bad Science.
Oh, that's true.
On Look Seeker.
What a nice friend here. That's right.
Which is film related.
Yep. Yep. We sit down with a comedian and a scientist and talk about the inaccuracies of film, Bad Science, anywhere you get your podcast.
Nice. Yes.
Yeah. And we're both on social media. Find us if you want to. We both pretty much use Instagram. Do you tweet?
I once in a while.
Okay, so find Eric on Twitter too.
Would you like to give the handles?
I don't know your Twitter.
Eric,
I don't use
Eric
Twitter.
Julian is mine.
Okay, but and it's yes, it's Eric on Instagram.
Yes, it's Eric on Instagram.
And I'm just my name, Ethan Edinburgh on Instagram. I don't use anything else.
And our show is at Success Express Pod.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
Done.
Well, check that out, guys. Of course, Progressive Comedy Tour is coming to the East Coast. Myself and Ron Placone, June 12th through the 19th. We're going to D.C., Baltimore, Philly, New Haven, Connecticut, New York City, and Boston. So go to grahamelwood.com for all of my tour dates.
Okay, and I want to make sure you guys knew, too, we still have copies of the Comedy Film Nerd's Guide to Movies in the store, as well as the DVD earbuds and downloads of earbuds if you want to check out the movie, if you haven't, especially if you're a new listener. And also my other podcast, Conversations from the Abyss, the Twilight Zone scripted podcast. Mm-hmm. And we have one more episode to drop that'll drop next month with a couple more people from Thrilling Adventure Hour. We have Hal Lublin and Mark Agliardi. About a grieving man who meets a ghost in a graveyard.
Oh,
so.
Nice.
That'll be fun.
So check that
Shaw.
Out. Yep, Hobbs and Shaw, pretty much. So check that out, and we're about to record a spoiler ep. How about that?
We're going to do a spoiler
ep. Much promised.
A lot of which we're not sure what it'll be about, but it's going to be fun.
But it's coming.
The next week, we're also going to do an Avengers Endgame one. But that's our episode. Mm-hmm. Thank you to Ethan and Eric.
Hey, thank you guys for having us.
Yes,
it's been an absolute pleasure. Anytime. I mean, I would say to the listeners to write into the message boards and just keep up all this support for having us on the podcast. I mean, they won't shut up about it. They keep requesting that we come back on. And
this is for you guys.
Yeah, and we'll come back whenever.
Awesome.
Sounds good.
Episode 464, halfway to 928. In the books, lock it down.
Halfway to 928.
Thank you to Aaron Brungard and everybody here at the All Things Comedy World Podcast Headquarters. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.
Spain doctors.